Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
As we have moved into James chapter 5, we find that Pastor James is excoriating the wealthy. He is really letting them have it. Now, I need to point out that not all rich people are wicked. The ones that James is describing here are wicked and rich, and there is a relationship there because many of these rich people got rich by wicked means. And that often is the case. Not always, but often is the case. But James is denouncing wealthy people who have made their wealth or increased their wealth by dishonest means, and reminds them that they are going to be severely judged by God. And then he names some of the sins that are related to their accumulation of wealth and what they did to gain it. And we say, well, why is he doing this if he's writing a book to Christians and the people he's describing here, he obviously does not consider to be Christians, so why is he denouncing them? They're not going to hear this. They're not going to read this. And the answer is that he is doing it, number one, to warn the people of God not to be like this and not to admire people like this, as sometimes we foolishly do in this world. And number two, because there are always some wealthy people among the people of God, not the majority, but there are some. And they need to be warned. It may be that some of them are counterfeit Christians, professing to be Christians, and using the Christian profession and the church relationship as a cover for their wickedness. And that is not so uncommon. It certainly is common enough in our day, and no doubt it was common in James' day as well. But as much as anything, too, to comfort the people of God who are being oppressed by the rich, so that they will know that God is mindful of what is going on. It may seem like that God has turned his eyes away, that God is not mindful of what is taking place, that God is not paying attention to the abuse and theft and the injustices which they are experiencing, but that is not the case. God is very much in control and very much aware of all of these things, and he is bringing judgment, and this statement makes that very clear. The judgment of God is going to fall severely upon those who make wealth by stealing from others, abusing others, mistreating others. You can mark it down, and that'll bring comfort to those who are being abused. So that's where we're going on this Friday, August 24. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for helping us financially with the cost of maintaining the Beacon Broadcast on this station. All right, here are the words. James chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Wow. Wow. And so what are some of these sins that call for God's judgment? They are, number one, the sin of hoarding. You'd rather have something spoil than to give it away. So hard is your heart. And he gives some evidences of hoarding. And then there's the sin of stealing. That's the one in verse 4. The wages of the laborers who have mowed your field, which you kept by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. So not only are you guilty of hoarding, what you're doing when you're hoarding, as we pointed out on the broadcast yesterday, when God gives us financial resources beyond the bare necessities of keeping us alive, it is not so that we will hoard them, it is so that we will become a conduit to pass them on where needed. Which is not to say, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, that wealthy people are to live exactly like poor people. Sometimes that's the mistaken conclusion that people draw from the statements that I just made and from this passage in the book of James and so forth, but that's obviously not true because the Bible indicates otherwise. God had many wealthy people of his that you can find described in the pages of Scripture in various places, and all of them lived better than those who were poor. So it's not that God doesn't want you to enjoy any of the blessings when he has given material blessings, but it is that he doesn't want you to hoard them. They aren't theirs for you to pile up and pile up and pile up and pile up. They are there for you to manage and to pass on. They are there for you to distribute wisely. You are to become a manager of these resources. You are to pass them on to others, not just willy-nilly. That you're to be a manager, a wise manager. God has entrusted them to you so that you can dispense them where needed and where they really will be used to bring glory to God. In this whole question of rich and poor, as the debate is framed in our day, so many people just seem to have the idea that we need to take from the rich and give to the poor by force. Tax the rich. The government should do this. Some people have too much, other people don't have enough, so the government ought to step in, tax the rich, and redistribute to the poor. Well, that's not what you find in the Bible. I keep saying this to people, and they don't hear me. They just pass it off and keep on going. As if people who claim that what they're doing is based upon the Bible, but when you point out some things like this from the Bible, they don't want to hear that. But nowhere do I find in the Bible Christ or anyone advocating that government step in to take resources from the rich and redistribute them to the poor. That's not what the statements of Scripture are talking about, but there are many statements, many statements in Scripture that are directed to individuals, instructing them as to what they should do with their wealth. They should help the poor. It's an individual matter. It's a private matter. It is it's a matter of obedience or disobedience. If you obey, you will be blessed by God for obeying. If you disobey, you will be judged, will be held accountable for your disobedience. It's like so many of the instructions in the Bible, they are given to individuals, and individuals are therefore responsible to either act upon what God says or to ignore it and face the consequences. But nobody else is told to step in and police this. The government isn't told to come in and to redistribute. Robin Hood isn't told to come along and steal from the rich and give to the poor. That is never taught to us in the Word of God. Jesus, for all the things he said about our responsibility to the poor, never advocated that government take the resources from the rich and give to the poor, or that government set up programs which are financed by the rich and which will therefore be distributed to the poor. But it's always an individual matter, and what the Lord wants us to do is to be good stewards, good managers. So, because there are problems on both ends here. The wealthy are supposed to see their wealth as God's wealth that has been entrusted to you to be used for God's glory. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. God, for whatever purpose, has given you a larger than average share of these material resources. That obligates you. That lays responsibilities upon you. Now, if you are poor, there is nothing in the Bible for you to believe that the rich people owe you anything. That's the other side of it. We have this mentality today, this entitlement mentality, that if I'm poor, I deserve some of what you've got. No, not necessarily. In this matter of poverty, there's always the question of what has caused the poverty. And not every case of poverty is deserving of help. Not every case of poverty would honor God to help them, because many times there need to be consequences that come to bear upon people because of their sin, their disobedience. You see, it's not only the rich who are disobedient, the poor many times are disobedient. And so when we are disobedient to the way God tells us to live, then we don't have any right to expect somebody else to come in and bail us out. I was careless. I was profligate. I didn't manage my resources well. Here we are wanting to take from people who have managed their resources better than we did. Now, that doesn't mean that every poor person has had the opportunity to have a lot of resources. It's a matter of God's distribution. But sometimes, I'm talking about, these are the kind of evaluations that need to be made. Who do you help? Well, you help people who are poor, either through no fault of their own. There are plenty of poor people that way. Various circumstances, difficulties, tragedies have come into their lives that have impoverished them. And those are the people that you want to help. Or, they're not the only people you want to help. If you find people who may be poor because of their own negligence, but obviously have learned a lesson, and now they understand how to save, how to manage, and they show promise of utilizing their resources in an appropriate way. And you have surplus resources, that's a prime candidate for someone for you to help. And to help them in such a way that you encourage individual responsibility. It's not just a matter of being poor. The Bible does say, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. That goes against the grain in our day. We have people in our day that say, nobody should go hungry. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says some people ought to go hungry. So, there are responsibilities on each end, but if God has given you more than the average number of resources, you are to be passing that on to other people in a responsible way. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.